Hello, good evening on this beautiful Saturday evening. You're listening to the Black Republican.
Black Democrat.
And my name is Don Allen.
I'm Jamar Nelson.
And we're here today to give you some information and some news and some things that you probably never heard of from our first ever broadcast live here on AM 1130, FM 103.5, Twin Cities News Talk Radio. Jamar, it seemed to warm up a little bit outside.
Just a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. I went out today and I only had four wool coats on. Yeah. So it was pretty interesting, but we're going to get into some conversations right now. We're very thankful to be here, and we appreciate all our listeners. We'd like you to tell your friends, family, and coworkers to tune in while we're on. It's Saturday at 6 p.m., right before the football game.
Today, yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know who's playing. I don't care because I don't watch football. Oh, so, I used to, but every time I watched the Vikings, they would lose. And so I watched a couple games this season, and he lost.
Well, make me stop watching the Vikings, too. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But you're not even from, you know.
Well, no. I'm a...
I mean, are you from Chicago?
No.
I think all Democrats are from Chicago.
No, this Democrat is from Texas.
Okay.
Originally.
Okay. And again, the name of our show is Black Republican, Black Democrat. And we have the beautiful Samantha as our producer today, which we're really grateful for. And we'd like to wish her happy birthday again. And moving right along, I'm just kidding, Sam. Moving right along, what do you think about this past election cycle? I mean, from a Democrat's point of view, were you successful? No. No, go ahead. I mean,
no, you know, listen, we lost, and that's something I have to deal with. And, you know, I'm moving on. It was a hard election, hard fought election. But I'm ready to move on, as well as should everybody else. But look, this is a guy that in the next 4 years is probably going to make a total, complete mess of himself. And listen, I won't root for him to fail, because again, I always say that when a president fails, so does we as citizens. You know, our country fails.
And we have a great example of that already. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, Bush 42, right? But no, and so now and then, you know, the new guy that's going to get inaugurated next weekend. But you know, as I digress. I'm ready to see what this guy does, but already doesn't look good. The guy still can't get out of his own way. He's still the tweeter in chief, is what he is.
Oh, that's cool.
Ridiculous. No, it's not cool. You cannot answer every single little tweet that every celebrity says something bad. Every time every celebrity says something bad about you, stop it.
This is just the evolution of
thin skin.
Well, this is the evolution of political campaigns along with social media. You didn't have this 10, 15 years ago, and this is just this is just an opportunity, I think, for every presidential campaign, every presidential candidate running for office from this point on will use those tools because of the effectiveness of attention getting that Trump is getting. Now, I don't think Hillary Clinton and the Democrats lost. I think they learned.
Oh.
And I think they learned that you need to go into these different communities. But also who learned was the mainstream media. Because I think we've had this conversation several times via social media and face-to-face. Because, I mean, face it, you're liberal, I'm a conservative, but we can have these conversations.
And we sure can.
And we want to delete each other, from like a lot of people do. But what happened here, from what my point of view, from what I saw, is that the mainstream media, and you would somehow agree with this, if you don't, please let me know, they made Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, safe.
What do you mean?
From July, that she was 71% ahead in the polls, that, you know, this was a slam dunk, that the women are not going to vote for Donald Trump.
Well, I think a lot of people also lied about to the pollsters. I think a lot of people, you get caught downtown, they were caught downtown, and the pollster walked up to you and said, well, which one of you guys are voting for Donald Trump? And so that little old lady did not want to be embarrassed or didn't want to be mocked or ridiculed.
Yeah.
So she lied and said that, she's not voting for him.
No, that's not
what
happened.
But she got in the ballot box and she cast her vote for Donald Trump.
That is not what happened, sir.
And here's the other thing. You're right. She started believing in a couple of things she did wrong. Number one, believing in the blue wall. You were running against an unorthodox candidate. She should have been an orthodox candidate.
What is an orthodox candidate?
Well, a Mitt Romney, a John McCain.
Those are establishment. Folks.
No, okay, whatever. You call them whatever. Those were the way campaigns were run, civilized, when campaigns were ran like that.
See, the mainstream media has wanted a darling. And what had happened, they haven't had one since Ronald Reagan. So what had happened in this election, from our community's point of view, is that we, every time we turned on the television, picked up a newspaper, looked at a magazine, you saw or heard or are just totally viewed Donald Trump. Donald Trump is this. He's that. He's this. He's doing this over here.
He did it himself.
But I'm not saying anything bad. I'm saying this is a popularity contest, believe it or not.
It is.
And the popular candidate won November.
No.
Yes,
no,
he did.
No, really?
Yes,
is that why he lost the popular vote?
The popular vote doesn't mean anything.
Oh, he got trounced by 3 million.
That doesn't, 3 million, that's like $5.
Oh.
Give me a five spot. I'll show you how easy that is to deliver.
Again, we're talking about an unorthodox candidate, and she should have ran outside the box. Not only
she cannot,
not going into Michigan, not going into Wisconsin was huge mistakes.
Well, but
when their staff, and I know one of them personally, one of their staff was.
Oh, that's great.
It is, yeah. Okay. She was screaming that Hillary should have stepped foot in Wisconsin, and she did not, and she paid for it.
Well, here's what happened, too, and I know you've heard this because I think I posted this a couple times and wrote about it, that you know some of the spin doctors and pundits came back and said that the black community of America did not come out and vote. And the reason, from what I see, from my point of view, and I'm just talking for the black Republican here, is that the mainstream media made Hillary Clinton safe. So if you're at home on your
couch.
No,
Republican propaganda worked.
No, that's the idea. That's the name of the game. Who plays the game the best wins.
No, please. Okay? No. Black folks, I am really surprised and hurt that they didn't show up. I mean, 6.7 million Obama voters didn't come out and vote for this lady, which, you know, would have sent him packing. That's unfortunate. And now a lot of them are doing all the complaining. And I tell them, shut your mouth.
Yeah,
because now you get what you're asked for.
Yeah, but they have an opportunity in 2025.
No, that's the problem. Those type of elections are when no one never shows up. Midterms are hugely small turnouts, especially in African-American and minority communities. And so, I mean, Republicans are going to continue to trounce. But 2020 is our year.
Yeah, okay. If you say so, I don't agree with that. I'm going to let you have that. I'm going to let you own it because it's yours. But, you know, in this case. But anyway, what's going to happen here is that we're going to have to now turn toward local elections. We're going to have to start looking at what's happening here in the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota and things that have not went our way. I'm not talking about a victim's mentality. I'm talking about equity, a fair playing field, and equal pay for equal work. I'm not talking about the $15 an hour minimum wage thing. I'm just talking about there's some things that have not been done. There are some agencies that have not done what they should be doing. And there's some people, yellow, red, black, and white, it doesn't matter, that are at the bottom of the stick that we need to look at, that we need to deal with.
And here's the thing. You're right. We're going to talk about that after the break. But here's the thing. Accountability is what the whole process is about. It's about being accountable. And we have not had that from these certain agencies here in the Twin Cities.
You're listening to the Black Republican, Black Democrat show on AM 1130, FM 103.5. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the Black Republican, Black Democrat show. I'm Don Allen.
I'm Jamar Nelson.
Over there dancing to the Luther.
Yeah, I was jamming.
I saw you. I saw you over there dancing. And that song from Luther Vandross just makes you want to just get up and do something. Oh, my good God. Like the Holy Ghost was in here.
No doubt. And so, flow of love.
And so, again, you're listening to Black Republican, Black Democrat show on AM 1130, FM 103.5. And, you know, our last segment, we kind of left off, you know, talking or getting towards or pointing towards the accountability piece and what's going on for who, when, how, why, and where. And I would like to bring our listeners' attention and your attention to a story in the Star and Tribune. It was actually kind of touched on around here a couple of weeks ago. But I think this is something that needs to be brought back into the foresight of the public sphere, because in our community, and we're talking about Black Democrat, Black Republican, Black Republican, Black Democrat, however you want to say it, there's a lot of nonprofit agencies that say they do things in our community. Not that we need a handout, but more of a hand up. There are people in our community for the last 30 years who didn't have any wiggle room. Some of us were fortunate, some of us were unfortunate. And with that said, there's supposed to be these agencies that kind of pick up the slack. So there's a story written in the Star Tribune by Shannon Prather. The title is Republican Control of Legislature Fuels Anxiety Among Nonprofits. There's a picture here of State Representative Moran. Rena Moran, Democrat out of St. Paul. And also Senator Michelle Benson. And I had a chance to talk to Michelle Benson in the Republican caucus last year in 2016 regarding this issue in an effort to create a think tank, a research and think tank in the black community that would follow the results of the money. And one of the complaints that the Republican caucus had last year, well, not a complaint, but just they voiced a concern, is that we don't know where the money is gone. That's what they said. And in here, Michelle Benson makes this statement. It's very, very profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, "When it comes to accessing public dollars, you will want to work really hard to prove what you've already done with the dollars you've already been given, whether it's public dollars or private dollars," said Michelle Benson, Republican Ham Lake. "Be ready to deliver accountability."
And what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, but where's the accountability? And,
right.
And we've had this conversation, Jamar, and this is not, we're not doing Democrat, Republican, back left and right, back and forth. We're just talking accountability in a way right now, because you know in 2016, the state legislature authorized $35 million to help stem disparities in the African-American community.
Right.
And someone like, well, like us, who are nosy, reading everything, researching, we still don't know where any of that money really went.
No.
Who is operating, or was anybody's life changed behind that?
Mm.
But that's just one example. You have agencies for education in North Minneapolis. They're supposed to deal with children, with toddlers, giving them an opportunity and their families an opportunity to be successful. And then we've watched $28 million go through that system. And we don't even have to mention the system, because I'm not trying to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings, because, well, sorry for the mean, accurate things I'm saying. but the thing is, we wonder what happens at the end result. If there's $35 million out there, I know $35 million divided among the 60,000 residents in some way or form to make them self-sufficient is a lot of money. But that's not happening. And I know it's for the whole state of Minnesota, but the whole state of Minnesota does not know. I have contacts in Duluth, Rochester, Fargo-Moorhead, Grand Rapids, Minnesota, as well as you, Jamar. And we're not getting any feedback on where the money is going. Now, we do know that $2.4 million went to Minneapolis Economic Development Agency, MEDA, which is also operated by President CEO Gary Cunningham, who is also the mayor's
husband.
Okay.
See, you're hitting on the right things. Here's what the right questions aren't being asked, because again, like we said before the break, where's the accountability for these monies? I think I'm totally with Senator Benson on accessing everyone that's been given these monies. We need a layout. A transparent layout of the monies you received, what have you done with it, and the outcomes of it. Again, if these are money, especially the monies that are targeted in the rural neighborhoods and the urban neighborhoods, where is these monies going?
Yeah.
What programs is this money being targeted? And if these programs that are being targeted, what are the outcomes? Is it training for education or job, whatever the money was meant for?
And I'm glad,
what are the income? Yeah. What are the outcomes?
And I'm glad you said that, because let's give our listeners some specific examples. You have Summit Academy OIC in North Minneapolis. If you go park in front of Summit Academy, you see thousands of people going through those front doors. You see thousands of people staying there all day, like a regular school day, because it's a training school. You know, when you take your dollar bill and you donate to this facility, that people are actually coming in and coming out. There are some success stories.
Sure.
There are some success stories waiting to happen. So for that model, okay, I'm cool with that. But then you have the other models. And I'm specifically, a lot of people already know what we're talking about. Let's go to the Minneapolis Urban League. How do you get a grant from MnDOT for highway-heavy training, construction, wheelbarrow moving, dirt piles or whatever. I'm asking, where is your highway heavy training facility at?
Well, look, I think that, and to be fair, we need to ask if President Belton would come on and answer some of these questions, too. You know, let's be a bit fair, because, it boils down to accountability about the things that are going on in the African-American community. I mean, these are entities that are in charge of revitalizing our communities. Mm-hmm. And if the right things aren't being done with the monies, then that isn't acceptable. So, again, I am absolutely behind Senator Benson in the fact that we need to have pure transparency for the monies that I've been receiving. $35 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, you're absolutely
And right. Do we know yet how it's been dispersed? You know, I haven't read anything about it, and so I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know if you do either.
Well, I looked around. I know from the legislative report that different agencies receive different monies. But those were like foundation agencies that, okay, you're – say, for instance, Emerge in North Minneapolis.
Okay.
We're going to give you $4.2 million.
Now, we're not saying that they did.
They did.
Oh, they did.
But what we're going to do is that you're like the overseer for that $4.2 million for these agencies. Now, none of those agencies were African-American led. Not that that makes a difference, because I know there's critics out there. Well, why are the black people got to lead it? Well, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of that if the big head honcho at the King of the Hill, Governor Mark Dayton, says that I'm going to give $35 million out to stem the African-American community disparities. Thank you very much. And you look around and that money's passed through many hands, procurement, many levels, and it never ends up. And this is not the first time. It's not going to be the last time, but it doesn't end up to where it should end up from anybody's point of view. Then that's a challenge. Because there are really no new businesses. If you've been in North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis, you can work at a seafood place. Okay, I'll be right there, waiter. You can work at a seafood place or you can work at a burger joint. And where is the future? Who is going into the community to create these new entrepreneurs, these new businesses, these people, you know, small business is the backbone of America.
Well, you're right. And that's how you grow. And that's a way how you grow the African-American community is by entrepreneurship, home ownership and things of that nature. We know that joblessness and crime goes hand in hand. And so, again, that's so when you're allocating money, especially a huge amount of these type of monies, we need to see where the money is going and what is it doing? What's the outcomes? I don't think this is not a partisan issue. I think every Democrat and Republican should be behind finding out what's going on. I mean, this is taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And let's just be real. This is taxpayer money, lots of taxpayer money, and it should be accounted for. I want to know where my dollars are going.
But here's the twist, and I know you appreciate this, maybe not. In the article, State Representative Sir Moran, Rena Moran, is making it sound like the Republicans are going to cut the legs off all this funding. Like it's a big scare tactic. Oh, no, the Republicans are in charge and we're not going to get. And my question to Senator Bobby Joe Champion, Senator Jeff Hayden, and State Representative Rena Moran is, you had 6 years to work miracles like Jesus turning water into wine. What happened?
Well, you know, look, things happen. I mean, and so we can't put them the total onus on them and what they do. I mean, especially
but
Representative Moran,
complain.
She did work hard to for her constituents. So let's not be like she did nothing.
To dismantle the Council on Black Minnesotans. Yes,
you know,
she did.
Well, yeah. One of your friends helped with that, too. I mean,
who's my friend?
You know,
none of my friends helped with that.
Padawan.
No. Let's get it straight. He was the former chairman of the chairman of the board of the Council on Black Minnesota. We're talking about Mr. Lawrence, who ran against Senator Champion in the last election for senator. And well, yeah, he lost. He learned. And so he was not, in effect, doing any legislation. This was
okay,
Senator
but
Moran.
He
had already served his three terms, and he was done. He was actually gone then.
Well, there's still some of the non-accountability happened under their watch too. Again, that's why I said this is a nonpartisan issue. Because you have to be behind the fact that you want to know where the monies are going. But now here's the other thing, like Lieutenant Governor said, that you don't know how Trump is going to govern. So,
we're not talking about Trump.
But no, here's the other thing, though. You have to talk about the feds, too. The feds are in control of that money, too. So the feds, he can also put a clamp on that money, too. So she's saying, which I understand, is this a scare tactic for nonprofits or Democrats? I don't think so, but I kind of understand the anxiety, the angst of how people feel like Republicans are in charge. Now what's going to happen? Are they going to snatch all the money from the minorities? You know, big bad Republicans.
You're rich. But Democrats are rich. That's such a myth because there's just as many rich Democrats as there are Republicans.
You guys are rich.
That's not even an issue. The thing is here's what you have to look at. You have nonprofits, over 200 in North Minneapolis alone. In the last 30 years, the area has not changed. You have even more poverty. You have unemployment in double digits.
Yeah.
So where are the new ideas? Because the old is not becoming the new at all.
Well, see, again, that doesn't come down on party lines because you need both parties to come up with new ideals and to get together on that.
So when I come, not to you, but when I come to someone that's a Democrat or liberal and I say, hey, I got this idea. I have this great idea for a compensated work therapy program in the community in collaboration with hospitals, in collaboration with hotels and different large businesses that have over 200 employees. The first thing they say, oh, you're a Republican. And I'm like, if you're thinking like that, we'll never solve a problem.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, because we don't know. Republicans aren't around enough to offer their ideals.
You're listening to Black Republican, Black Democrat on AM 1130 FM 103.5. I'm Don Allen, and that's
Jamar Nelson.
And we'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back. Black Republican, Black Democrat. My name is Don Allen, and over there is
Jamar Nelson, the handsome.
The handsome Jamar Nelson. I didn't say he was handsome. I'm just repeating after him. I don't want you guys going somewhere where you don't need to go. But anyway, we're coming back and kind of topping off the last conversation regarding the nonprofit and accountability. I think it would be a good idea, Jamar, maybe if we contacted some of these agencies and just kind of, sat down and see if they'd be willing to have the conversation. I would love to have the Stair Step Foundation president here, who received over $193,000 from MSURE to make sure minority ethnic people in the Black community, because there are a lot of things in them, had the opportunity to partake in MSURE. And I did talk to him once, and he said that he, quote, did you see the video we did? I said, if you spent $193,000 on a video and didn't buy yourself McDonald's, we got a problem. And so I'm not falling for the okey-doke. But I would like to know what happens. What is the process? Do you need money to keep your lights on, to pay the mortgage? What is it that we never get the funding that reached the people? Because, the Urban League was originally created. It was supposed to help middle-class Blacks so they could start businesses and hire the lower one-third of the community to keep them in a job for 20 years, for long term.
Well, things change. And you just hit the nail on the head. That's why we need to be full transparent and invite some of these attempt to invite some of these agencies' heads in to explain where the money's going. Because, listen, that's the operative question. And it's only right that they be accountable and answer to the community that they serve. I mean, in order for our community to continue to grow, I mean, when you look at North Minneapolis, you see North Minneapolis growing.
Yes.
But you don't see a lot of us a part of that growing process. There's still dilapidated homes and businesses that $35 million could help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And we let's make it clear. We understand that Governor Dayton did the $35 million for the entire state of Minnesota for African Americans to stem the African American disparity. Blah blah blah. But in the areas where most of the Black American community lives, we're not seeing any tweak. So if you ask, is your life different today than it was 12 months ago? The answer 10 times out of 10 is going to be no. But then again, this is not a victim's mentality thing because we expect people to work and earn a living and do what they need to do to survive.
Absolutely.
And this has always been a nanny state, but we want to get past that. We want to get to a point where it's a functioning, people can survive by getting up in the morning, going to work, and getting a paycheck for the work that they do.
And that's why that especially in Minneapolis, what's important now, especially these local elections,
yes.
You know, because again, your local officials are also supposed to be held accountable for some of these monies.
Yes.
And what's going on in Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, period. And then so I think that it's heating up as well. You know, you've got a lot of people now just throwing their hat into the rings and special counsel. It's going to be exciting.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You're a solid liberal, Democrat, pow-wow-wow all the way.
Oh,
okay.
Well, you know.
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being absolutely stellar, how has Betsy Hodges
I didn't vote for her, and so okay. I thought coming right in and raising property taxes was the wrong thing to do. She should have looked for other revenues. I mean, people don't mind giving money, but if you have to give your part, you have to do your part by enhancing the growth of their home, the values of their home. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're building in their neighborhoods, increasing the value of their home, then they're— no homeowner is too reluctant to turn around and give you a few bucks back to help the kid, to help the city.
So then what you're saying to me, if I'm listening to this correctly, is that she has not really put any economic uplift into, as far as your conversation here, the homeowners and people in the community. Has she done anything that you can see in the last few years that has benefited any community, not just the black community?
You know what? Look, I just don't think that she's worthy of being reelected. I think she's pretty passive on a lot of issues, especially when it comes to criminal justice reform. The one thing that she and I agree on is probably sanctuary cities, but I think that she's too cozy with the Met Council, and I wonder why. But I don't think that she's worthy of being reelected. And so I think that guys like a Dean or Flowers that are running against her will give her a hard time. Even Nakima. I mean, they're going to be just tough competition.
So let's look at this. We get a mayor. Say, for instance, Nakima Levy-Pounds is elected mayor of— is elected mayor of Minneapolis. I got it. Here. Okay. And she comes out in her first—
this was
speech.
The one you were missing.
No, God, please, no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
no, okay. And so she is the mayor. How do you think her first 100 days will be?
Well, look, I don't think that this is a woman that will be elected. I don't, because look, she's too divisive. She's continued to be divisive. I didn't see her grow the membership as president of the NAACP. I don't know what she claims that she saved the city from being burnt down. I don't know how. That's somebody that I doubt if we'll get on. She's just someone that refuses to work with the police chief, the police department, white folks in general. And when the city is 68% white, how do you expect to get anything done if you're really unwilling to work with others other than blacks?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
And that's the problem I have, because for a long time now, if you look at her camp and people in her camp, they would have you to believe that black people hate white people hate black people, and no one's getting along and there's nothing being done. We're in fact—
thanks, Obama.
Okay. And so with that said, you know, that is not the case. And to nail that race baiting,
yes,
right in the middle of a situation, granted, you got to agree. I agree with you on this. She has a huge following
a
huge audience. And rather than block a freeway, why not go camp out in front of the governor's house?
Exactly. Or, again,
the mayor.
She didn't grow the membership. And when is she ever going to talk about joblessness?
Yeah.
When she's going to talk about home ownership? Yeah. When you talk about, when you just mentioned it earlier, how unemployment for black males in North Minneapolis is at double digits. Mm-hmm. When you talk about that, she tells you that you're doing the white man's work. You can't be a mayor and not address real issues that are affecting the community. Yeah. That's a problem. A brother would not rob your home if he was owner of his own home.
Yeah.
He's less likely, because he understands that, exactly.
Yeah.
If he had a job, he knows that there's dignity in work. So he's less likely to go out and offend if he's working, because he has pride in himself and contributing to his home.
I agree.
She doesn't talk about things like that.
No, or youth. I grew up in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not ashamed. I worked at every fast food restaurant on Lake Street, White Castle, Burger King, McDonald's, Embers, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. I kept a job from 14 to 18 years old while I was in high school. It was easy. It's hard now for these kids. but yet you get a whole train load of kids out of. How would it feel going to the Mall of America with no money in your pocket just to get on the light rail and go out there? That breeds contempt and trouble.
And you see
it when you get. I've taken a train out there with my little ones just to do it for fun, you know. And the minute you get off the train, you can count the number of fights that are getting ready to go down.
That's right. The people,
the women, the other people are getting disrespected by these kids. And I'm like, this could have stopped if it was addressed directly. And it usually is.
And that's what I'm saying. You can't have a mayor. And that's the problem with Hodges, too. She won't address it. She's too passive on issues. I mean, they're both. Nakeem was talking about she would fire the police chief when she came in. Okay. Well, first of all, I don't know. I'm no expert on this. But what cause are you going to fire the police chief for? And secondly, again, how are you going to run a police department, which you don't like. You don't like any of them. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to respect you. You can't just come in there strong-arming everything. No, it's a process that we must go through. And then if she's – her counterproductive behavior hurts us as a community. I don't want a person that's totally as divisive as she is as the mayor. It's simply ridiculous to have this lady even. That just shows you the arrogance of Nakeema Levy-Pounds to think that she could be mayor.
Yeah, and you know what? I like that we're doing this like once a week on Saturday at 6 p.m. here on AM 1130 FM 103.5 because we're to have an opportunity to have these people to call in or to have these people to be here live in the studios with us at some point. Because I think as Black Republican and Black Democrat, both of us, we should have the opportunity to get the right information because I don't think we're scared to ask anything.
No.
We're not one of them other stations where we're going to, like, rub your back because you might buy some commercials, okay? And we can pretty much say what we need to say with or without filters. But in this case, I see Hodges and Nakeema Levy-Pounds as a liability. And I know there's some other people, Ray Dean. Al Flowers, who was considering, Jacob Fry.
Jacob Fry announced.
I saw Jacob Fry give a fiery speech like he already won. And I fell off the chair. I broke a rib laughing so hard.
The problem with this dude, again, is, you know, he got to contend with what's going on in downtown Minneapolis. These are guys that are not dealing with real issues that are going on. It's kind of like a football game, like the game that we're on before now, you know, Houston against New England.
Yeah.
See, you don't watch football, so
I don't care.
I can't ask you who you might think would win.
The Vikings.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness gracious. No, the game is Houston versus New England. That's who we're on before, Don.
Okay. You know what? I don't care.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, how about New England? Take a guess who might win?
Oh, New England will win.
Okay, New England will win?
Yes.
Are they going to the Super Bowl?
No, I don't know who's going to the Super Bowl because there's two more games that have to be played, right?
That's true.
So, I mean, I could go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
buy a ticket.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. So it don't matter.
Well, see, next week when we're going on, we won't be on before a game, but I'm so excited that we got a chance to debut and got a chance to debut before an exciting playoff game.
Yeah, and you've been listening to the Black Republican, Black Democrat show on AM 1130, FM 103.5. Check out our website, blackpoliticsinminnesota.com. Sign up for updates, and there are sponsorships available. And we'd like to thank our beautiful producer, Miss Samantha. Thank you very much.
Come back and join us next week. Thank you, guys.